Now, of the 103 episodes of Hancock's Half Hour recorded for radio, nearly two dozen are missing or lost, so we've been recreating them from the original scripts. Now on Radio 4, Tony embarks on a modern morality tale.
This is the BBC Light Programme. We present Tony Hancock, Bill Kerr, Sidney James, Andre Melly, and Kenneth Williams in Hancock's Half Hour. This is the story of a family, a rich old man and his three sons, triplets whom he hadn't seen for over 20 years when they passed from adolescence into manhood and each went his own separate way. The story of how they and their father were finally reunited when he summoned them to his deathbed to allot each son his rightful share of the family estates before he passed on. The parts of the father and his three sons will all be played by Mr. Anthony Hancock. The rest of the cast will have to jump in where they can. So we proudly present our radio adaptation of the play translated from the original French by Fernandel, entitled Hancock Has Three Heads. In the heart of the Sussex countryside lies Hancock Towers, a noble, impressive Victorian monstrosity and the home of old Ebediah Hancock. The great house, which once rang with the sounds of boyish laughter, is now strangely quiet. The curtains are drawn, the shutters are closed, the servants speak in whispers. For upstairs, in his bedroom, in the west wing, lies old Ebediah, slowly dying for the sixth time this year. His weak, frail old body sinking fast.
Nurse! Nurse!
Yes, what is it, Mr. Hancock?
Nurse, I'm going. I'm going, nurse, I'm going.
Oh, now, Mr. Hancock, you've been saying that for 3 weeks.
I know, but there's been a rail strike.
Now, just you lie back and rest. You're going to be all right.
No, not this time, nurse. I'm getting weaker every day. There's not much longer to go. Strange how the good die young, isn't it?
But you're 93.
I know. Come over and sit on me bed, Amy, dear.
No, no. Please, Mr. Hancock, please let me go.
Oh, come on, be a sport. I'm an old man.
Oh, Mr. Hancock, stop it. You're a sick man. You're going, remember?
I've changed my mind. I'll stop here a few more minutes.
Just you behave yourself. You know what the doctor said. Rest and quiet.
Rest and quiet? I've only got a little time left. I want to enjoy myself. Let's live smelling salts all round. Where's me man, Meadows? Meadows!
Are you coming, master? I'm coming.
Oh, Meadows, me dear. Dear old faithful Meadows. I'm going, Meadows.
Yes, sir. I've packed your things.
You've been a good friend, Meadows. How long have you been with me now?
84 years, sir.
And how old are you?
95, sir.
But I'm only 93. This is insufferable. How dare you live longer than me? You're only a servant.
I'm sorry, sir.
95? Why aren't you dead?
Well, you wouldn't give me the time off, sir.
Well, I refuse to die before you, Meadows. I'm not leaving you here with all that crusted port in the cellar. There's only one thing for it.
Yes, sir.
You'll have to come with me. You can open the gates for me.
Oh, very well, sir. It's a funny thing. Only last night, as I lay in bed, I heard the voice of my dear departed wife calling to me, Meadows! Meadows! I'm waiting for you! I'm waiting for you!
Well?
I don't want to go.
But you must, Meadows. You must come with me. I've paid your wages up till the end of the year.
Oh, as you wish, sir. But can you hang on till tomorrow morning? Only I'm going to a dance tonight. Charleston, Charleston.
I'm afraid we've got to hang on a little longer than that, Meadows. Before we go, there's something that must be done.
Yes, sir.
I want to see me three sons. It's 20 years since they left. I must see them just once more before I depart. I want to see how they've turned out and... decide which one to leave all my money to. Gideon, Rodney or Anthony. Which one shall it be?
It'll be a hard task, sir. They were all idiots.
Yes, I know. But I want you to find them, Meadows. I want you to bring them here to me bedside.
Oh, it's going to be very difficult, sir. We haven't heard a word from them in 20 years.
No, no, they were never ones for writing. If we could only trace one of them, perhaps he could tell us where the others are.
Well, Master Rodney would be the easiest one to trace, sir.
Ah, yes. Rodney, a fine boy. The only one who carried on the family tradition of service in the Royal Navy. Here's the only photograph I have of him, dressed in his little toy sailor's suit. See that, Meadows? Look, look. HMS Lollipop across his hat.
Oh, oh delightful. Man. Charming, sir. How old would he be when that was taken now?
25. Last I heard, he was commanding some sort of warship. Go out and find him, Meadows. Hurry, on your way, lad. You'd better take the motorbike.
Oh, very well, sir. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Meadows. Good luck. Close the door, Meadows.
Nurse. Nurse.
Yes, Mr. Hancock?
Come and sit on me bed.
Captain Rodney Hancock, Royal Navy.
Captain Rodney Hancock, reporting for duty.
Go straight in, Captain. The Admiral is expecting you.
Ah, come in, Captain. You know, of course, why I've sent for you.
Yes, sir, because I am the best captain in the Royal Navy, the most decorated, the most loved, and the bravest man you have under your command.
Exactly. As soon as we heard about those NATO manoeuvres, we said,
send for Big Ed.
Very kind of you, sir.
You're obviously an officer of considerable experience, Hancock. You must have seen a lot of action, judging by the medal ribbons on your chest.
Oh, yes. The old fruit salad, sir, yes.
What do you get those for?
2 bob the lot and 1/2 bar for the coat. Well, you can't grumble at that, can you?
Well, no, Captain Hancock. Now, I don't believe you know these two gentlemen. First Lieutenant Kerr.
How to do, sir?
Charmed.
And Petty Officer James.
What, sir?
You'll be seeing a lot of each other in the next few months, gentlemen. I'm assigning you all to a new ship for the NATO manoeuvres.
You mean you're giving me a new command, sir?
I'm afraid so, Hancock. The Admiralty has decided that your old ship is obsolete. Its weapons are no longer effective in modern warfare.
Oh, I don't know, sir. The old boiling tar over the side, a few hefty whacks with the grappling irons.
I'm sorry, Hancock. We're modernizing. I'm placing you in command of an ocean-going minesweeper. Can you handle the deep-sea stuff?
Can I handle it? The deep-sea stuff? Me? High-tide Hancock? With all due respects, me hearty, I'll have you know that I've wrung more salt water out of me socks than you've sailed on. I've spent me life on the deep sea stuff. All the long runs, Tower Bridge to Southend and back twice a week. Highly dangerous voyages they were. Never knew the human frame could stand so much battering. Arctic winds, waves like mountains. That Contiki and his lads had it easy, I can tell you. Single men and volunteers only on our run. The dockers used to line up as we left Tower Bridge and wave us goodbye. You could hear them muttering, "There go the mad fools on the South End run." Poor devils. Living hell it was. Oh, but then we was young and reckless in them days.
Do you mean to say that during the whole of your seafaring career, you've never gone farther than South End?
Well, of course not. Nobody has. You can't go any further than South End. Get down there and look out to sea and you can see where it ends, 10 miles out. I'm not sailing out there and fall over the edge for no one.
Some ships sail all over the world.
All over the world? Are you sure?
Yes.
I bet they have to ring half speed across the Sahara.
Well, they don't go anywhere near the Sahara, sir. They go across the Atlantic Ocean, into the Mediterranean, through the Suez Canal, into the Indian Ocean and across the Pacific.
Yeah, hang on a minute. Those names, what are they? Pubs?
They're seas, sir. The Thames isn't the only stretch of water in the world.
It isn't?
No.
My word. Oh, you do surprise me. That ain't what they learnt me at Hoxford.
But Captain Hancock, 2/3 of the entire world is covered in water.
Well, it's been a wet summer, hasn't it? I mean...
Yes, well, to get back to minesweeping, Captain, there is a minefield we've laid in the Atlantic which will, I'm afraid, have to be swept. Do you know why?
They're getting dusty, sir.
Well done. Have a medal.
Thank you, sir.
Now, at the moment, there is a convoy of 500 ships on the water.
They couldn't have chosen a better place, sir.
That's what we thought. Your minesweeper will be joining the convoy to clear the way for them. Observe this map on the wall.
Oh, yes, sir. It's pretty, isn't it? Such an attractive shade of blue and...
Yes, but you see what it covers.
Yes, sir. Those beer stains from the last party.
Exactly. Note the position of the fleet. This pin here is the flagship. This pin here is the aircraft carrier.
And this pin here?
That holds the map up.
Oh.
You will rendezvous with the main force at this point at 2000 hours. That means leaving here around 1845.
I'd sooner go this year, sir.
As you wish. You will proceed in direction north-northeast till you reach 74 degrees longitude and 15 degrees latitude. Then change course to south-southwest till you reach 92 degrees longitude and 15 degrees latitude.
Where will that bring us, sir?
At the end of the pier. That's where the ship is. Good luck, Captain Hancock. You won't be disappointed in your two chaps here. Fine men, both of them.
There's only one thing that worries me, sir. Size of the crew. Only three of us to drive a minesweeper. It'll be tough, sir.
You can do it, Hancock.
No, sir, I need a bigger compliment.
Very well.
You're the best-looking captain in the Royal Navy.
Thank you, sir. We leave immediately.
Ready to cast off, sir?
Right, cast off one.
Cast off one.
Cast off one.
Cast off two.
Cast off two.
Cast off two.
Cast off three.
Cast off three.
Cast off three.
Cast off bow.
Cast off bow.
Cast off bow.
Cast off forward.
Cast off forward.
Cast off forward.
Raise the gangplank.
Raise the gangplank.
Raise the gangplank.
Up anchor.
Up anchor.
Up anchor.
Hoist the ensign.
Hoist the ensign.
Hoist the ensign.
Start engines.
Start engines.
Start engines.
Anything else, sir?
Yes, we'll start again, and this time, somebody do it. Any sign of the convoy yet, number one?
I don't know yet, sir. Can't see a thing for all these blasted ships we're surrounded by.
Well, never mind. Keep looking.
Captain Hancock, sir.
What is it, James?
An urgent wireless message has just come through from the Admiral.
Read it to me.
Right. Dot, dot, dash, dash, dot, dash, dot, dot, dash, 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 dot, dash, dash, dot, dash, dot, 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 dash, dot, dash, 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 dot, 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 dash, dot, can't disregard, dot, dash.
What does that all mean?
Oh, I don't know, I didn't like to ask.
Yes, you're quite right, James, have a medal. Full speed ahead, we've got to find that convoy before nightfall. What's our position, number one?
I think we're somewhere near the minefield, sir.
What makes you think that?
The back half of the ship's gone.
Not the blunt end. Gad, this is tricky. I wonder what Raleigh or Drake or Nelson or Jack Hawkins would have done in a spot like this.
We must clear the minefield, sir, before any more damage is done.
You're right, number one. Have a medal. First of all, we must make sure that there are no enemy submarines about. Right, drop anchor.
Drop anchor.
To the chain.
Sorry, sir. Up anchor.
Up anchor.
There'll be no grog for you two tonight.
Mine on the starboard bow.
Port your helm.
Mine on the port bow.
Hard astern.
Hard astern.
Full ahead.
Mine dead ahead.
Dive, dive, dive.
Too late, sir. They're getting closer.
All right, abandoned ship, men. Everybody overboard. Jump! Trust me to land on a mine.
Next.
Rodney Hancock, Captain, Royal Navy, retired.
Hancock, Rodney. Oh, we were expecting your father up here before you. He should be coming up any day now. He's overdue, as it is. You can take a seat and wait for him if you like.
Thank you.
I'll just run the tape measure around you. Charlie?
Yes?
Halo, 6 7/8. Wings, OS fitting. Plenty of room round the shoulders. Oh, and nip down to the storeroom and fetch up a harp, something he can practice on.
Yeah.
Next.
Oh, poor Master Rodney, missing out on all that money. Oh, well, I suppose I better look for the other two brothers. Let's see now. Gideon Hancock. Oh, the black sheep of the family. Last heard of in Chicago.
Louis.
Who's there?
We've come to get you, Louis.
Oh, no, 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 fellas, no.
You thought you'd get away with it, didn't you, Louis?
No, no, I didn't, fellas.
You double-crossed us, didn't you, Louis?
fellas, I can explain.
You tipped off the cops, didn't you, Lou?
You're making a big mistake, fellas.
And you know what happens to people who tip off the cops, don't you, Louie?
No, no, not that. Fellas, no, no.
Ices, chocolates, candy, cigarettes, popcorn, soft drinks, chocolates.
Gee, Bubbles, that sure was a great film, huh? Makes me wish I could get back in with a mop again.
Yeah, I wish you could too, Mickey. I'm fed up with the small-time life we're living. Come on, take me in the bar and buy me a drink.
Yeah, sure, Bubbles. What are you having, Bubbles?
The usual.
Hey, Sam, orangeade and a treble straight bourbon. Here's your bourbon, Bubbles. Scar.
Hiya, Nicky.
Gideon. Gideon, it's you.
Yeah, Gideon Hancock, remember? The kid everybody said would wind up in prison.
Yeah, how you doing?
I just got out.
You're looking real sharp, Gideon.
Yeah, I'm doing all right.
You must be making a lot of dough.
Yeah, look.
Gee, gold teeth.
That's nothing. Have another look.
Gee, gold gums. Now, who you working for, Gideon?
The big boy.
The big boy? Oh, they tell me he's got everybody in town on his payroll. The cops, the DA, the mayor.
Yeah, yeah, they let him do anything he wants. He's even making money out of the new street corner fire alarms.
How?
You have to put a nickel in before you can pull the lever.
That ain't so bad.
Yeah, but the fire engines don't come till you get 3 lemons in a row.
Hey, Nicky, introduce me to the gorilla.
Oh, sure. Bubbles, Gideon Hancock.
Well, hello.
Hi, babe. I like what I see.
Well, take a good look. I'm pulling the shutters down, man.
I like your style. I like you, babe.
Say now, Gideon, Bubbles is...
Quiet, Tom.
Sure, Gideon. Anything you say, Gideon.
That's right. Anything I say, you remember that, Nicky. I'd hate the cops to find you with your feet in a bowl of water and your nose plugged into the light socket.
So you work for the big boy, huh?
What's it to you?
Oh, nothing. I just thought you might be able to get Nicky a job with him.
The big boy only uses tough babies.
You're working for him, ain't you? You don't look so tough. Look at you. Pink fedora, frilly silk shirt, green velvet jacket, yellow corduroy pants, crimson nylon socks, and powder blue suede shoes.
Lady, when you're dressed like this, you've got to be tough.
Hey, please try and get me a job, Gideon. Please, Gideon. Huh, Gideon? Gideon?
Okay, stop licking me shoes. You're brushing the suede the wrong way. I'll see what I can do for you. There's a meeting of the mob tonight. You'd better come with me and meet the big boy.
Okay, Gideon, I'll take his word for it. Put Nicky on the payroll. Now, to work. It's about time the rest of the gang arrived. Who is it?
Joe sent me.
Come in. Who is it?
Joe sent me.
Come in. Who is it?
Joe sent me.
Come in. Who is it?
Joe.
Sorry, no room. It's your own fault for sending so many. Right. Now we're all here. This is the deal. Tomorrow is March the 17th. St. Patrick's Day. Every cop in New York will be on holiday. So we're going to go in and pull a holdup on the First National Bank. We're going to clean the place out except for $2,000.79.
Why?
That's what I've got in there. This is the play. Nicky, Gideon, and me will park across the street in a sedan. And when the bullion van draws up... Right. There's the bullion van parked in front of the bank. Gideon, you go in the bank and grab the dough. We'll take care of those guards so they don't start nothing.
Okay, boss. See ya.
Good luck. Okay, Nicky, drive past the bullion van and let them have the Tommy gun.
Sure, boss.
Bonehead, I thought I told you to let them have the Tommy gun.
I did, boss. See, look, they're firing at us with
it. Oh, you knucklehead. You've loused everything up. They're wise to us. Sling someone at them.
Smoke bombs?
No, thanks. I'm trying to give them up. Sling a hand grenade at them. Drive past, pull the pin out, count to 5, and sling it out.
Sure, boss. Four.
Oh, great. Why don't you go back to your old gang?
I can't. They were wiped out.
I ain't surprised. Come on, let's beat it. We haven't got a chance.
Wait for Gideon. He's just come out of the bank with the money.
Gideon, over here, across the road. Step on it.
Ah, watch out, Gideon. Mind that motorbike. Gideon!
Excuse me, gentlemen, can you tell me where I'm likely to run into Gideon Hancock?
Next!
Gideon Hancock, gangster.
Oh, yes, we've been expecting you for years. How did you manage to get up here?
I got influence.
Well, your brother Rodney's here. Your father hasn't turned up yet. I'll have to send someone down to look for him if he doesn't hurry up. That'll be all.
Oi, 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 wait a minute. What about a rig out?
Well, you can have a nightshirt. But in view of your bad record, Halo and Wings will be held back pending good conduct. Now go over there and sit next to your brother. Next.
Oh, dear. Only one brother left now. I do hope he's in good health. Old Eberdyer will be disappointed if I don't turn up with any of them. Now, let me think now. Anthony Hancock. Ah, yes, of course. He went into the medical profession. Well, I think the best place to look for him would be Harley Street.
Well, here we are, Sid. 259 Harley Street. This is Dr. Hancock's.
Are you sure this bloke's any good, Edie?
Of course he is. Dad swears by him.
Yeah, I've heard him. Carries on alarming, doesn't he?
Oh, he must be a good man, Sid. He's got a plate outside his door. That must mean something.
Yeah, he sends it out for his dinner.
No, that brass plate. Dr. A. Hancock. Physician, surgeon and psychiatrist. Hedges cut, choose your own shapes. Surgery hours 9 to 12 and 2:30 to 6.
Oh, I don't like it, Edie. He's only open when the pubs are closed.
Oh, well, go on, ring the doorbell. Let's get it over with.
Yes?
Dr. Hancock.
Are you from the Lancet?
No.
The British Medical Council?
No.
The Sunday Papers?
No.
Speaking, what can I do for you?
Oh. I'm suffering from insomnia.
Are you? Well, you've come to the right man, I'll tell you that for nothing. No, better not, make it a guinea. So you're suffering from insomnia, eh?
Yes.
Well, don't worry, I'll have them out in no time.
Have what out?
Your insomnias. If there's something wrong with them, you daren't leave them in there. They might turn sceptic.
No. Perhaps I should explain.
Where do they hurt?
They don't hurt.
I see. Painless insomnias. Oh. They're the worst type you can have, you know.
Oh, dear, doctor, can you cure him?
Certainly. The best thing you can do is go home and have a good night's sleep. 10 guineas, please, and the next patient.
Morning, Doc.
Good morning. What seems to be the trouble?
You remember me, Doc. I came to see you last month.
Oh, yes, that's right. I gave you some tablets to take. What happened?
They sent me to sleep for 3 days.
Oh, so that's what they do. I've got a big jar of them up here with no label on. Well, you've been most helpful. You wouldn't like to try this lot, would you?
No.
How about these red ones?
No.
Oh, go on. I think they changed colour halfway through.
I'm going to report you to the medical council.
Do you any good? They've never heard of me. 3 guineas, please. Here the next.
Good morning.
Oh, God, blimey, it's him.
No, I've got 8 days.
Well, jump on the table. I'll operate.
No, still messing about. I wonder if you could give me something to get rid of it.
Well, I could soon mix up something, a spoonful from all around the lab.
Oh, can't you give me some of that medicine I had last time? Cool, it made me feel good that day. Cool. None of the girls round our street were safe that night. Cool.
What medicine was this? Describe it to me. I'll make a fortune.
Oh, it came out of that brown bottle on the table.
Blimey! Me pickle alcohol!
Oh, can I have some more of it? Because there's a little blonde piece next door.
No! It's against all ethics of the medical profession. Supplying me patients with alcohol, it's more than me practice is worth. I am a doctor, sir, a man of integrity. I have a certain dignity to uphold, certain principles to observe. I'm sorry, sir.
I'll pay for it.
1 teaspoonful 3 times a day.
Now, what about my headache?
I have the very thing to cure it. A bottle of Dr. Hancock's Rejuvenator. My own invention. Works wonders. I guarantee this will get rid of your headache. It gets rid of anything, this stuff.
Are you sure it's safe to take?
My dear sir, of course it is. Perfectly safe. No danger at all. I'll show you. I'll take some myself. Just a teaspoonful is sufficient. There.
Next.
Dr. Anthony Hancock?
Hancock Anthony. Oh, yes, I've heard a lot about you.
Really?
Yes, we've got nearly all your patients up here. Sit over there next to your brothers. Next.
Nurse! Nurse!
Mr. Hancock, for the last time, I am not going
sir.
Where's me sons? I must see them before I go. Where are they?
Oh, they're all dead, sir.
Dead? Me three sons? Gone before me?
No, I'm afraid so, sir.
Oh, well, there's not much point in hanging around down here then, is there? I might as well go up and join them. Oh, I'm looking forward to seeing the three young rascals again. 20 long years. Come on, Meadows. Time to go. Lay down.
Very good, sir.
Goodbye, Meadows.
Goodbye, sir.
You dead yet, Meadows?
No, sir.
You're not trying, Meadows. Well, hurry up. We haven't got all day. Hold your breath or something.
Very good, sir.
Oh, that's better. I'm coming. I'm coming, Rodney, Gideon, Anthony. Your old dear father's coming up. We'll soon be together again after all.
Name?
Ebadiah Hancock.
Right. Here's your shovel. Get weaving.
Shovel? I don't want to see me sons. I wouldn't have troubled to come otherwise. Where are they?
Oh, they're upstairs. Now, come on, get those furnaces stoked up.
But why can't I go upstairs with them? Why am I down here?
Oh, I'll tell you. We've had some very interesting reports through on the evil workings of your mind during the last few weeks.
What do you mean?
Oh, come off it. She was a very attractive piece, that nurse, eh?
I wouldn't mind, but she didn't even sit on me bed.
You've been listening to Hancock's Half Hour, featuring Kevin McNally as the lad himself, with Kevin Eldon, Robin Sebastian, Simon Greenville and Susie Kane. Incidental music was composed by Wally Stott and recorded by the BBC Concert Orchestra, conducted by Levin Parikian. The script was written by Ray Galton and Alan Simpson, and the programme, which was recorded, was produced by Neil Pearson and Paul Sheen.